The Pentagon sees its job as defending the nation from foreign threats, a view that's probably not too controversial. But in the 21st century, that means not just incoming missiles, but incoming data packets. And right now, the military has a very hard time thwarting that particular flavor of foreign attack because, as General Keith Alexander, the commander of U.S. Cyber Command, told senators yesterday, the military doesn't even find out about those attacks until they're long past finished.
If we can't see the attack, we can't stop it. What we're not talking about is putting NSA or the military into our networks to see the attack. What we're talking about that all of you have put on the table is we have to have the ability to work with industry, our partners, so that when they are attacked or they see an attack, they can share that with us immediately.
Alexander, testifying before the Senate Armed Services Committee, he says there's an analogy to traditional kinetic warfare.
So if a missile were coming into the country and we had no radars to see it, we couldn't stop that missile. If we have a cyber attack coming in and no one tells us that that cyber attack is going on, we can't stop it. Today, we're in the forensics mode. I think we should be in the prevention mode in stopping that.
DoD has begun some early efforts to collaborate with industry to stop cyber attacks on private networks. It's focused so far on defense contractors. A pilot program begun last year let the military share malware signatures with vendors so they could spot attacks on their own. A Carnegie Mellon University study earlier this year found mixed results so far. Researchers said the contractors could be trusted with the information, but the signatures DoD gave them were out of date and not especially useful by the time the military handed them over. Alexander says that research was based on the earliest days of the program. He says it doesn't change the fact that public-private information sharing is the only way national cyber defense can work.
For us to be successful in cyberspace, it's going to require government and industry working together with the best of both. Industry partners see signatures that government doesn't see, and government sees signatures or malicious software, exploitations and attacks into the country that industry doesn't see. The information sharing and the ability to do that is key to stopping that. What I see from the DIB pilot was increased discussion between government and industry, and this was a good thing. And it has grown, and it continues to grow, and we're getting better. And so in legislation, what I think is we need to make the first step. We need to start in that journey. We won't get it perfect, but we need that ability for industry to share with us the fact that these attacks and exploits are going on, or we cannot stop them, we cannot help.
Alexander's testimony comes at a time when lawmakers are battling over two competing legislative proposals for national cybersecurity. Both bills emphasize information sharing and liability protections for companies who do share. But one version, led primarily by Senators Joe Lieberman and Susan Collins, would also let the Department of Homeland Security set minimum cybersecurity standards for the operators of the nation's most critical infrastructure, from water to power to internet providers. John McCain, the primary sponsor of the competing legislation, says that's a broad overreach by the federal government. Alexander was careful not to endorse either bill, but he did say DHS ought to play a critical role in defending that critical infrastructure. McCain, suffice to say, isn't so sure.
What's the logic in providing the overall authority to the Department of Homeland Security? Anyone who has been through an airport have no confidence in the technological capabilities of the Department of Homeland Security. As an example, nothing has changed as far as airport security is concerned since probably September 12, 2011. So the major threat comes from overseas. What would be the logic then in making the lead organization the Department of Homeland Security?
Alexander says DHS, DOD, and the FBI need to work in concert. DHS, he says, should be the primary interface between the government and critical infrastructure operators. The FBI should lead investigations for cyber attacks, and DOD should be able to respond to foreign attacks, either through cyber or with bombs and bullets, under rules of engagement the Pentagon is still finalizing. Joe Lieberman, one of the main sponsors of the bill competing with McCain's, rushed to DHS's defense. He says the department has been a big part of why there's been no successful attack on the U.S. since 9/11, and he says the McCain bill fails to make critical infrastructure operators accountable for defending the nation's most important systems, something he says many companies currently aren't doing without government prodding.
Secure IT doesn't do it because it doesn't provide for defensive preparation by the private sector. And look, I know the private sector is lobbying against this. I think there's a terrible trap here. This is not just a question of regulation of business. This is a protection of our homeland.
Alexander wears two hats, one as the director of Cyber Command and the other one as director of the National Security Agency. While he says neither agency should be snooping around in private U.S. networks as it tries to defend them, they do have the authority to look into overseas networks. But even in that role, he says he's found working with industry to stop attacks in a timely way can be difficult. In one case, Cyber Command spotted a foreign actor trying to steal several gigabytes worth of data from a defense contractor's systems overseas.
And the issue was, now we had to work in human space to reach out to them to say they're trying to steal something from you, you've got to stop it. There's got to be a better way to do that, because that's almost like going at network speed, now trying to send a regular mail letter to them that you're being attacked. And so we've got to bring this up into the network age to get these responses out. So I would advocate, and I think the way we're going is to, one, build our defense, and two, have options that would stop it. Beyond that, I think the president and the secretary need options that would take it to the next step. These are not options that we would take, but these are options that we would propose to the administration. Our job would be to defend and protect and to stop some of these attacks analogous to the missiles coming in, and give the administration options of what they could do to take it to the next step if they choose. Those include cyber and other options that are available, and I think the White House has put that forward in their cybersecurity thoughts.
DOD is finalizing its own rules of engagement for cybersecurity, including how it uses the offensive cyber capabilities it's still developing, and which Alexander says still need to be developed a lot faster. He expects those internal rules to be published within the next few months. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.